seconds away. So we'll hand over to Nicole. You're on 2SER 107.3. So hot right now.
La caliente ahora!
Your weekly dose of arts and culture.
And all of that sort of stuff.
It's that weird thing that they're classics because they're classics because they're classics, and then they become the classics and everyone wants to do the classics because they're classics.
He's amazing.
Well, you need a lot of room for all that blood.
And he's hot as a firecracker.
You're listening to So Hot Right Now. You better not use me saying that.
Amazing babes.
On 2SER 107.3.
Good morning and welcome to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. Now, before we get started, I would like to acknowledge the Gadigal people who are the traditional custodians of this land. I would also like to pay respect to elders both past and present of the Eora Nation. So I've got a very busy show today, as always. A bit later on this morning, I'll be chatting about Sydney Film Festival's Screenability Program, which is one of my favourite programs on the festival. It happens every year. It's featuring artists with disabilities and directors with disabilities. And a bit later on, I'll be chatting about the Otherworld Zine Fair, which returns to Marrickville Town Hall tomorrow. But first on the agenda, we're talking about another Vivid program. So Vivid, as many of you know, is known for its beautiful light, provocative ideas and world-class music. However, there's a little bit more to the festival than you think. Up next, I'll be chatting about the Tumbalong Lights Play Space, which is Vivid's inclusive and interactive installation. To get us there, I'm going to take a track from Faye Webster, who just released her second album yesterday. She's one of my favourite artists. If you listen to the show, you know that I play her a lot. She's from Atlanta, and this album is called Atlanta's Millionaires Club. This is probably my favourite off the album, Come to Atlanta. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
This is season two of All Things Equal.
And she said he's got special needs. He needs to be with his own kind.
His own kind.
Yeah.
Where you'll hear real student stories.
Because I almost overdosed in my vice principal's office, so I was suspended for 20 days.
To discover that not all schools and not all students are equal.
New episodes of All Things Equal are available now. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Sydney-based band Baby Beef, Just Relax 2018. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now with myself, Nicole Beck. I will be with you until midday talking all things arts and culture. So we may as well just get straight into it. So 2019 marks the second year for Vivid's Tumbalong Lights, the festival's inclusive precinct. So Tumbalong Lights involves a collaboration between artists with a disability and groups, schools and communities that cater for those with special needs. This year's theme is centred around the 50th anniversary of the lunar landing, featuring five space-themed installations. And I'm joined by Anna Town from Cushman & Wakefield, which is Vivid's access and inclusion partner for the Tumbalong Lights exhibition. And she's here to tell us a little bit more about the program. Good morning, Anna.
Hey, good morning, Nicole.
And can you start by just telling us what Cushman & Wakefield is and what you do there?
Yeah, sure. I'm the Head of Marketing and Communications at Cushman & Wakefield, and we're a property services company. We're global. We've got 51,000 people around the world, and we provide real estate solutions for both investors and occupiers of real estate. And we're really excited to be the Access and Inclusion Partner for Vivid Sydney for the third year in a row. And, you know, it's really important for us to partner with Destination New South Wales to make sure Vivid Sydney is as inclusive and as accessible as possible for all members of the community.
And so this is the second year of Tumbalong Lights, and I just was wondering how this collaboration between Cushman and Wakefield and Vivid began and how it's transpired over the past 2 years.
Yeah, it's been a whole lot of fun. It's been a collaboration of 3 years in the making, and it's really been a collaboration between the property industry. So we've got a whole lot of like-minded organisations in the property sector who also value inclusion. It's ourselves, Cushman & Wakefield, the ARA Group, Charter Hall, Minter Ellison, Suncorp and Westpac. And we kind of all came together with a big ideation session. We brought together people from the creative industries, the technology industries, from the disability sector, and really thought, how can we create a really inclusive play experience that really allows everybody to play, participate and belong and experience the magic of Vivid Sydney, no matter what level of their ability? So Tumbalong Lights has been designed based on universal design principles. But it's been designed for everybody. So, you know, all kids, big and small, families, visitors to Sydney can come and experience Tumbalong Lights.
Is that something that has been missing in the past on the Vivid program, that ability for everyone to interact with works?
Well, I think Destination New South Wales has been working, you know, for a number of years to make sure the event is as inclusive and accessible for everybody. So as part of our Access and Inclusion Partnership, we provide accessible infrastructure. So there's wheelchair ramps, there's accessible viewing areas, there's Auslan interpreters that are part of the Vivid Ideas program, and there's also support for people with visual impairment. So I think there's absolutely a movement towards inclusion in for big festivals like Vivid Sydney, but we really wanted to create something special and something designated that really catered for kids with special needs and disability.
So speaking about Tumbalong Lights specifically, so it's based off the 50th anniversary of the lunar landing. Can you tell us a little bit about what the works are and what they look like?
Yeah, look, they're absolutely beautiful. And it is themed around the 50th anniversary of the lunar landing. So one of the installations, we invite people to come and sit in a wheelchair and experience a ride for 3 minutes that takes them to outer space and back. And this is called To the Moon and Back. And what we wanted to do was kind of have everybody on a level playing field so that everybody got the opportunity to experience what it's like to be in a wheelchair. And you'd be amazed at the number of people that sort of come off the experience after 3 minutes and say, wow, my arms are hurting. You know, that was a lot of effort to get myself around in a wheelchair for just 3 minutes. So for us, that was sort of really important, I guess, to raise awareness and raise a conversation for what it's like to live with a disability permanently. So that's one of them. We've got a giant alien visitor who stands 6 metres tall, and you can interact with this alien, which is absolutely beautiful, lovely colours, and has a musical component as well, which really requires low physical effort. So you can sort of wave your hands in front of sensors and music plays, and it's quite a beautiful experience. We've also got something called Space Balls, which is based on an old school kind of marble run, and it's kind of an intergalactic planet experience where kids can put balls through plastic tubes and turn wheels and push buttons, and so there's a lot of cause and effect there, which is one of the universal design principles. And we've got See What I See, which uses really advanced facial recognition technology. So you can scan your face, and then we've collaborated with Digby Webster, who's a Sydney-based design visual artist, and he creates these most amazing paintings with vibrant colours. And so he's created 30 sets of faces, 30 sets of eyes, 30 sets of noses, and you scan your face and see your face projected on this giant screen in Digby's art form. So we're inviting people to see the world how Digby sees it. And then we've also got Under the Milky Way, which is a beautiful kind of tunnel entrance. We're inviting people to come and walk under the Milky Way, which has been inspired by Indigenous artists. And last but not least, we've got a collaboration with Bus Stop Films, and they've produced a stop animation movie, which is called One Giant Leap. And this has been a really wonderful collaboration with Bus Stop Films, who support artists with an intellectual disability in making films.
So Vivid opened last night. How did people interact with the works? Was it exciting to watch?
Yeah, it was really exciting. We were down there last night. Our whole team was down there. We've got a huge army of volunteers, if you like. I think we're going to have 400 volunteers across the 23 days. And it was just wonderful to see all the kids, you know, running up to the installations and experiencing, you know, the creativity and the outcome of what this collaboration has been. I think we had 10,000 people come through Tumbalong Lights last night on first night, which was really exciting. But it's such a wonderful big space down in Tumbalong Park. It didn't feel too busy or didn't feel too crowded. And I guess that's one of the ways that we've tried to design this based on the universal design principles, is that there's lots of space to move around. It's really flexible. It's easy to use. It's equitable. And it doesn't require a lot of physical effort to interact with the installations, so everybody can come along and enjoy it.
Yeah, what I like about Tumbalong Lights is that it's accessible, but you invite, obviously, everyone to enjoy it together. And what are you hoping that kind of facilitating that kind of connection for people with disabilities and those who also don't have disabilities creates in terms of conversation and, yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that was really one of the drivers, was to elevate the conversation around inclusion and elevate the conversation around inclusion in the context of major events like Vivid Sydney. I think it's really important that, you know, everybody in the community gets the opportunity to come down and be part of Vivid Sydney, because it's such a wonderful, magical festival. It's the largest in the Southern Hemisphere. And being there on opening night last night, from Circular Quay down to Tumbalong Lights, there's some absolutely magnificent installations that, you know, really everybody should be able to experience.
100%. I couldn't agree more. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Tumbalong Lights is at Tumbalong Park in Darling Harbour and is open last night and is until June 15th and is free.
Absolutely.
Everyone
come along.
Enjoy. Yeah.
Visit.
I've just been speaking with Anna Town all about Tumbalong Lights. As I mentioned, free to attend, so get down there. You've got until June 15th. Right now, I'm going to take a track from Sharon Van Etten. This is Every Time the Sun Comes Up. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
Hey. R&B star and choreographer Tiana Taylor makes her Australian debut this May for Vivid Live. Fresh off her Kanye-produced smash second record, melding new and old R&B with incredible flair, Tiana's electrifying presence in the beautiful Joan Sutherland Theatre is one performance you will not want to miss. Book now for Tiana Taylor's Australian debut on May 29 at sydneyoperahouse.com. Two SER sponsors.
there is a track from Tilda, Style. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture with myself, Nicole Peck. And if you missed my last chat there, it was about Tumbalong Lights, which is happening for Vivid. And you can listen back on our show page if you look for So Hot Right Now on the 2SCR website. But right now I'm talking about Sydney Film Festival, which has just announced the return of their Screenability program, which is a platform for screen practitioners with a disability. The program, curated by Sophia Garland, presents 7 works from national and international directors. This morning I'm joined by one of the directors who's featured on the program, Nicole Del Prado. Nicole's film Magnetic details the story of Bella, who walks the line between mental illness, creativity and identity as she comes to terms with her diagnosis. And here to tell us a little bit more is Nicole. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Can you start by telling us a little bit more about this character, Bella, and what she's diagnosed with?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically Bella comes from my personal experience with bipolar disorder, but it's a short film, so it's the abridged version. So initially she goes through depression, suicidal ideation and anxiety. She is then diagnosed with depression, given a formal diagnosis, and starts taking her medication. And she thinks that she's cured. Life is fantastic. The world is inspirational. She's creative again. Unfortunately, what's happened, and this can happen in real life, and it happened to me, is when you take some depression medications and you have bipolar disorder type 2, it can actually switch you from the depressive phase into the hypomanic phase. And so what hypomania is, it differs from type 1 bipolar in that there's no psychosis. It's a kind of low-level mania. And for me, it presented itself as, you know, the world is amazing, it's beautiful, I'm so energized by it. And I was hyperproductive. And so this is what Bella, the character, experiences. And then she's told that actually this isn't her going back to normal. She's actually gone into hypomania, and it's about her story of getting her bipolar 2 diagnosis. And at the end, she's confronted with the question of, you know, having to potentially take medication. At two ends of the spectrum, you've got this amazing world of hypomania, but at the other end, you know, you've got this depression and suicidal ideation. And the character is really scared that if she takes the medication that she'll lose who she is as a creative person. And so it's really about the question of, are you willing to give up your creativity in order to save your life?
Definitely. As you kind of alluded to there, the central to this narrative is that kind of nexus between mental illness, creativity and identity. I'm interested in maybe perhaps your experience and how these overlap and collide.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like just generally within the artistic community, whether it's, you know, filmmakers or writers or musicians especially, there's this idea of like the artist's struggle. And I feel a lot of people, when they're going through something which may lean towards depression and depressive episodes, they feel like it's just something that they have to do in order for their art. And, you know, I felt it as well. I felt that, you know, intrinsic to my creativity was the stuff that I was going through, and that was part of just who I was. But I think this film is really important in that it's the message that, you know, your personality is not your illness, and that, you know, you might have a mental illness, but if you get that treated and you seek help, that's not going to stop you from being who you are. That's not necessarily going to stop your inspiration, you know? And I think that's really important in the film.
100%. I'm really interested in how you hope people react to this story, because obviously it's quite a poignant story and it's a really important story. What do you hope audience members take away from this narrative?
Yeah, I think my biggest takeaway that I would want people to understand is that this is just one person's story. It's a film. You know, at the end of the day, while it is based on real life, it's fiction. I'm very privileged in that I took medication and the medication worked really well for me. I'm very high functioning, but that's not everyone's story. You know, there's so many people out there who have a completely different experience with their mental illness, and not everything is a happy ending. And I think it's the most important thing to take away from this is that we need to talk about it. We need to talk to people. You know, it's more than, are you okay? It's learning about what people could be going through, and learning to listen and learning to ask questions. I mean, myself, when I first started this journey of writing this film, I didn't know anyone with bipolar type 2, but the thing is that I could have. It's just that no one ever spoke about it. I never spoke about it before this. But even in the process of making this film, like at Sydney Film Festival, it's the world premiere, so no one's really seen it yet unless they've worked on it. But the amount of conversations that just even making this film has opened with people coming forward to me and telling me about their experiences, I mean, it's just very telling as to the impact that this film will hopefully have.
100%. So this film, as you mentioned, is getting its first screening as part of the Screenability program. How do you feel about being a part of this program for Sydney Film Festival?
Oh, I think it's a phenomenal program that they've put together, and it's curated through Trent New South Wales, and it's an amazing opportunity for filmmakers such as myself to step up and not only tell my story. You know, my film is my particular story, but some of the other films are just by filmmakers with a disability, and they are telling, you know, one of them's like a sci-fi story and those sorts of things. And it's just them making their art, even though they have a disability. And so I think that opportunity is something really special that Great New South Wales and Sydney Film Festival has to offer.
Is that an opportunity that is perhaps lacking?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think there's definitely barriers when you do have a disability, whether it's a physical disability or even an invisible illness such as someone myself might have. You know, I look at, say, my resume, for example, and there's quite a big gap in there where I was really affected by my mental illness and my bipolar disorder. And that's something that's really hard to, I guess, explain away in something like, say, job interviews and those sorts of things. And so just to be able to, you know, sit down with the people from Screenability and say, frankly, hey, this is what's going on, and this was my barrier to creativity, and be given an opportunity like this, I think is really important.
And so your film is being shown among six other films. Are there any ones in particular you're excited to see?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see the other Screenability short films. You know, there's some really exciting directors in there and some really unique stories. I love the idea of short films as opposed to feature films, because they're so condensed and really tight little moments of a story. And I really appreciate short films in that manner.
100%. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the show this morning.
No, thanks so much for having me.
No worries. So that was Nicole Del Prado, who is a director, and her film Magnetic is on the program for Sydney Film Festival's Screenability, which is a wonderful program that happens every year. And it is happening from the 5th of June until the 16th. And we'll put all the details up on our show page if you look for So Hot Right Now on the 2SCR website. Right now, I'm going to play a track from Melbourne-based artist Gregor. This is Wish You Saw. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
Makes me sad to hear you talk about yourself this way, and what I say doesn't matter. You've made up your mind, or let others make it up for you. Why are they so important when they don't care? You saw yourself the way I do, and didn't interpret the thoughts of people who don't care about you. I wish you saw yourself the way I see you. I wish you saw yourself the way I do, and didn't interpret the thoughts of people who don't care about you. I wish you saw yourself the way I see you.
Of Brian Ritchie from the Violent Femmes. Catch the Spirit of Chiricahui, an epic musical celebration of an Aboriginal surf life-saving legend, this May at Vivid Live. Featuring extraordinary First Nations, Australian and international performers, evocative visuals and a joyous mix of rock and oceanic grooves, come revel in the amazing life of a true Aussie hero. Book now for The Spirit of Chiricahui, May 27 at sydneyoperahouse.com. 2SER sponsors.
You are tuned into 2SER's Arts and Culture Show, So Hot Right Now, and it is 11:36 on your Saturday morning, which means I've just got under half an hour left to talk about all things arts and culture with you. If you missed my last chat, it was about the Screenability Program with one of the featured directors, Nicole Del Prado, which is happening as part of Sydney Film Festival. And as always, you can find details to anything that we talk about up on our show page if you look for So Hot Right Now. And right now I'm talking about one of my favourite zine fairs, Other Worlds, and that is happening tomorrow at Marrickville Town Hall. And for those of you who are interested in zines and maybe have only been to some of the bigger, more commercial zine fairs, this is a really great program that you should check out. And I'm going to be talking right now with Safdar Ahman, who is one of the organizers of the program, and he's going to tell us a little bit more. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
So, Otherworld Zine Fair, started back in 2014 with a Biennale boycott of Transfield. Can you tell us a little bit about how that all started and what that exactly means?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. That all sort of kicked off when it sort of came to light that the MCA were supported by Transfield, who was one of their major sponsors, and that the board member of the company was also the board member of the MCA. And, of course, Transfield were the company who were running the offshore detention centres on Manus Island and Nauru. And 2014, of course, was an awful year for refugees, as every year has been under the current government. And so Amnesty International did a report in that year pointing out that the treatment of refugees offshore was torture, basically. And so during the Biennale of 2014, a number of artists boycotted the MCA. And that was when a bunch of independent zine makers here in Sydney got together and decided, you know, we don't want to be tarnished by that connection. Why don't we create a completely independent zine fair, which we organize, which has no corporate connections and no sort of ethical, you know, bad ethical connections. And so that was how Other Worlds began, originally as an alternative to the MCA zine fair. I should point out that Transfield was then severed from the MCA. So the MCA sort of did cut off that connection. And the MCA zine fair now is much more sort of DIY focused and involves zine makers. So they've thankfully addressed that connection. But still, I think it's really important to have something completely run in the DIY ethos, which doesn't have sort of major institutional or corporate patronage, because that's in the spirit of zines, really.
Yeah, definitely. It's probably the most DIY kind of art form. I'm interested, yeah, as you mentioned, so obviously there's no corporate backing or anything like that, and Otherworlds is collectively organized. Can you talk to me a little bit about how that collective process works?
Yeah, sure, totally. It's basically a small handful of us here in Sydney who are writers and comic book makers who all do our own zines, and we basically secured the Marrickville Town Hall as a venue. So it's a community space, and basically it's we fundraised ourselves to cover the costs of doing it and sort of break even at the end of the day. So it's just a great opportunity, you know, to have something which is completely independent and run autonomously.
And so Otherworlds also has quite a strong focus on providing a space for marginalised voices. How does that come through in the artists that are featured, and why is that important for Otherworlds?
Yeah, I think it's crucial, and I think it's really central to what zines are all about. So, you know, I think zine culture is special. In a way, to me, I think it's sort of a little utopia, because a zine essentially, for people who don't know what they are, a zine is basically a self-published pamphlet or small book which has no editorial constraints. So you really can say whatever you want within a zine. So it's the perfect forum for people from the margins, people whose voices don't really get a crack in the mainstream, to basically express themselves and to find their own communities. And so the zine community is very inclusive, and just does contain so much diversity. And that's what I love about it. And so Otherworlds is dedicated to that, basically. I think it's the best showcase for sort of underground culture in Sydney.
And roughly how many artists are featured?
Oh, well, this year I think we've got about 90 tables.
Wow.
And a lot of them are shared. So they're like, you know, half tables. So we're going to have literally hundreds of creative people.
That is so many.
Sorry?
That is so, so many.
I know, yeah.
Is it easy to, are people always willing to get involved? Is it easy to get a lot of people on board?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, the moment we do the call out, all the tables start going. And people come from all around the country. So a huge supporter is Sticky Institute in Melbourne, who are really good friends of ours. Sticky is, you know, the most amazing dedicated zine store and workshop space in under Flinders Street in Melbourne. And, of course, there's a large group here in Sydney. Some people come down from Brisbane. So I think zine fairs, when they happen, are a really good opportunity for everyone sort of around the country to come together.
And what are you hoping for in the future for Otherworlds?
I hope Otherworlds will roll on, because I think it's really important to stay independent in the spirit of and in the ethos of making zines. I think in the contemporary sort of age now, especially when you look at media and mainstream media being so dominated by Rupert Murdoch and News Corp, and the fact that, to be honest, a lot of the media we consume isn't free and the information is very restricted, I think now more than ever, zines are really important. So my organization, Refugee Art Project, does zines by asylum seekers and refugees, and we'll have a table. And, you know, the zines that we've done are really a unique way for people who are in Villawood Detention Center to sort of get their voices out through these self-published books. And that's been crucial, I think.
And is that that other project that you go, I think we've spoken about it before on the show, is that going to happen again by any chance?
Oh, you mean Refugee Art Project?
Yeah.
We'll be there tomorrow from 12 to 4 with all of our stuff. We have a studio in Ashfield in the Inner West, so we're continuing to make stuff. In fact, we've got a new zine for tomorrow. It's really awesome. It's actually a proper full-length comic of about 30 pages by an Iranian refugee called Sarah M. And that's a pseudonym, that's not her real name. But it's an amazing comic all about sort of coming to Australia as a refugee and facing racism and trying to fit in. So we're really excited to be sort of presenting that for the first time.
Yeah, it's one of the many great pieces of work that will be on display or for sale.
Yeah, there's going to be so much good stuff.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on the show tomorrow. I hope that it goes wonderfully tomorrow.
Oh, thanks so much. It's been lovely to chat. Thank you.
Thanks. So that is the Otherworld Zine Fair, which is happening tomorrow at Marrickville Town Hall from midday till 4 p.m. And it's totally free. So get down there and check out the, I think, 90 or 90 plus artists displaying their work. Right now, I'm going to take a track from Mac DeMarco. This is off his latest album, Here Comes the Cowboy. This is Preoccupied. You are tuned into So Hot right now.
Passing around your blood in your body, no conversation to ease up your mind. Nobody seems see the outside of it. Preoccupied. preoccupied. Nobody's hiding it. Preoccupied. Nobody's hiding it.
Only local hero and cultural renaissance man Briggs brings a night of no-holds-barred hip-hop to the Opera House for Vivid Live. Joining the rapper, producer and AB original member are fellow label mates Electric Fields, David Dallas, The Kid Laroi and more, plus some very special guests. Vital, vitriolic and tons of fun, book now for Briggs's Bad Apples House Party on May 30 at sydneyoperahouse.com. 2SER sponsors.
Thank you.
there was Toi et Moi with Ordinary Pleasure off his latest album. What's it called, Charlie?
That is off the latest. What is that album called?
I'll just check it out. Out of Peace. Definitely a highlight. We were just discussing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I am joined with my producer, Charlie, my one and only favorite producer, to tell me or us what's happening this week.
This week is hot. So hot. Yeah. So I'll kick off with tonight. So on Saturday night, the greatest night of the week, we've got Club 4A. Happening.
My favorite 4A. Everyone knows 4A. That. Who listens?
We're taking art into the club for this lovely event. It's a bit of a one-off. I don't think it happens too often.
Yeah, this is the second time that they've done it.
Exciting.
It's at Dynasty Karaoke as well, which is really interesting.
Yeah, right in the CBD. Haymarket, yeah.
And because it's at a karaoke bar, it's a little bit... So the night is, as Charlie mentioned, taking performance out of the White Cube and into the club. But because it's not your average kind of bar, the Dynasty has a different kind of licensing situation so that you can't order drinks from the bar and then be handed drinks over the bar. You have to go and, like, you order a drink and then you're like, they'll tell you to stand somewhere and you go and stand there and then they have to deliver the drinks to you.
They have to bring it out to
you. Yeah, because it's like, that's their kind of, their licensing is like a serving license or something.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah.
Wow. All right. So they have to like come out and serve it to you from a little distance.
But yeah, it should be really cool. It's co-curated by Liquid Architecture from Melbourne and Rainbow Chan, who we've spoken to on the show before.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. So. And yeah, it's a good lineup of like, interesting electronic and like experimental music as well as a visual lineup. So yeah, should be really cool.
Also, there's going to be a bit of VJing or something.
Yeah, I think, there is going to be VJing. Yeah.
Very exciting.
It's from 7 p.m. till 3 a.m.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And is it very big? Are you familiar with the space?
Yeah, Dynasty is like, so because it's a karaoke bar, there's separate karaoke rooms, but there's also a foyer and a main stage in the middle of all the karaoke rooms. So I'm pretty sure like you go and then there's people still doing karaoke in their rooms, but the event's happening like in the foyer. So I think it's quite like an interesting space.
Yeah, that definitely sounds interesting. Oh my gosh.
So what about Sunday?
Moving on. Sunday, I couldn't quite see. Otherworlds, the zine fair. That's a really exciting one from the interview from earlier on today. Yeah, so that's a really exciting event that everyone definitely go and get around. Free.
Midday till 4.
Nothing out of your back pocket, $0.
Unless you buy some zines. But then
that's actually a pretty good point.
Yeah. But it's money going to a good place, so.
Definitely. Yeah, that's a really exciting thing to get around. Great communal vibe. I'll fast forward to Wednesday because there's a really exciting play that I want to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah. It's called Normal. It's happening at the old 505 Theatre in Newtown. It's got a bit of a long run. It's May 29 to June 12. And it's a really lovely little play
about
a bit of an investigation story.
Okay.
But this is it's an urban detective kind of story. But this is the twist. The investigator is a teenage girl and the body is her own.
Whoa.
I know. Pretty big twist there. So it's about this protagonist, Poppy, who she develops a twitch, and it spreads through her body, and then a group of school friends, and then eventually the whole town. So nobody can explain what this tick is, but it acts like a disease.
Sound disease.
Excuse me. And spreads through a whole community. So this is chock full of metaphors and, investigates a girl's relationship with her own body. So it's really exciting. It's directed by Anthony Skous, with a bit of light, and designed by Kelsey Lee and sound by Clooney Edwards.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then Thursday?
Thursday, we got a great... This is one thing that I've been looking forward to a lot. It's actually happening on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday next week. And it's called Dancing Forward. So this is really, you definitely should get down to this if you can. Apologies for my awful pronunciation in advance if I get it wrong, but Bergbiaga Yalira. So this is happening at Carriage Works, and tickets are $35 for this one. And it's on, as I said, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So this is a dancing event. It's a triple bill of solo works curated by Marugeku's artistic directors, Delissa Pigram and Rachel Swain. So it explores relationships with land and country through intercultural contemporary dance. And each work challenges our sense of belonging in Australia. It's an intriguing amalgamation of exotic music, cultural storytelling, and superb dance.
So, wow, sounds amazing.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this for about a month or so, yeah.
Well, we'll put the details up to everything Charlie just spoke about and more for the rest of the week up on our show page because we are sadly out of time. If you missed anything, just head to So Hot Right Now on the 2SCR website and everything we've spoken about will be up there in some capacity. I'm going to finish with a track from Steely Dan off the Royal Scam. This is The Caves of Altamira. Yeah, you are tuned into So Hot Right Now. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
So I went and found my own. I would climb the garden wall with a candle in my hand. I'd hide inside a hole of rock and sand. On the stone, an ancient hand in a faded yellow green. Made alive a worldly wonder, often told but never seen. Now and never bound to labor on the sea and in the sky.